is loose. Touchdown Elks. Trey Ford into the end zone.
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
New York Rangers trying to move on tonight. 2 minutes into the third period. Rangers with a 1-0 lead on the Hurricanes. Jacob Trouba with an unassisted goal in the second period. So that's all in that game tonight. Carolina trying to stay alive. Stars and Avalanche will face off in a little over half an hour. That game in Denver, and Colorado trailing 2-1. And Colorado without Valeri Nichushkin, who's been having an incredible playoff. He has been placed in stage 3 of the player assistance program of the PA and the league. And under the terms of this program, suspended without pay for a minimum of 6 months. And after that time, he's eligible to apply for reinstatement. So huge news affecting the Colorado Avalanche in the middle of their playoff series against Dallas. Valeri Nichushkin suspended 6 months and going into stage 3 of the player assistance program. Also, tonight, looking at the scoreboard presented by Cougar Paint and Collision, our family helping your family for 40 years. In basketball, we got the Celtics leading the Cavs 98-89 halfway through the fourth quarter. Boston with a 2-1 series lead there. Thunder and Mavericks a little bit later on. Dallas up 2-1. Baseball tonight, Blue Jays and Orioles 2-2, and they are in the top of the 10th. Blue Jays batting in Baltimore. The Orioles coming in with the best record in the American League. How you doing tonight, everybody? Reed Wilkins with you for Inside Sports. It is. It feels odd today because it almost feels like a post-mortem day on the Oilers' season, even though their season's not over. They're down 2-1 against the Vancouver Canucks in the second round. If I were sitting here just talking about that series or looking at another series, I'd say, well, they've played 3 games. It can go 7. Teams that are down 2-1 win series all the time. Let's see what happens in game 4. And part of my brain is saying that and being logical about it and saying every game plays out differently, and the Oilers got a pretty good team, and they have done some good things in the series, and let's let them get out there and see what happens tomorrow, and maybe they can even it up and put some heat on the Canucks and all that kind of stuff. Another part of my brain is, and you've heard us talking about it throughout the day, another part of my brain and my mouth is talking about it as if the season is, well, maybe not over, but on the verge of ending. And maybe that's not fair, as Carolina scores a really nice goal to tie it up 1-1 3.5 minutes into the third. But the reason I'm saying that is because I'm comparing this to last year's loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm saying to myself, the same sort of things are happening, or the Oilers are showing the same sort of deficiencies that they weren't able to overcome against the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, on the positive side of the ledger, you have McDavid and Draisaitl producing offense literally at a historic level. I mean, they're only trailing Wayne Gretzky in terms of points per game in the playoffs. You have Zach Hyman continuing to do his thing. You have Bouchard and Ekholm generally playing very well. And then you have, I think, most of the roster after that. Maybe not all of it, but most of the roster. And you're saying, okay, we need more out of that guy. And in some players' cases, it's the same players we said that about last year. We need more out of him. And again, that player isn't able to bring that in the postseason. So now it's a pattern of 2 years in a row. Or there are some players where we're saying, I've seen that player play quite well before in the playoffs and in the postseason, and it just isn't there for whatever reason. So that's why I kind of feel like, can the Oilers overcome these deficiencies that we're seeing in some cases for the second time, or that we're seeing for an extended period of time, that it's going to be hard to overcome in a series? And again, Skinner had a tough playoff last year. I think, to be fair, he had a good series against LA. I'm not going to say a great series, but he had a good series. Game 2 wasn't good. He came back and only allowed 1 goal in 2 games in Los Angeles and then helped the Oilers finish it off in Game 5. But this year, I mean, a bad goal in each of the 2 games in Vancouver, and a couple other goals that you probably hope would be stopped, or maybe they wouldn't all go in. And then clearly last night, 4 goals on 15 shots is just not going to get you very far unless your team's putting, you know, 6, 7, or 8 on the board. And then it's just, again, for me, and this is kind of disturbing. Maybe not disturbing is probably too strong a word. It's not a horror movie. But just, it's troubling, I guess, that it just seems like Vancouver is more desperate. That it, and it's just, as a team, they're more willing to sacrifice, set the tone, you know, do things that might be borderline dirty or a little bit cheeky. And, of course, Carson Soucy has been suspended. We'll talk about that as we go along tonight. But just more menacing on the ice, like just willing to be a little bit meaner or a little bit greasier, a little bit more willing to be the initiator. And last night, a perfect example was the first shift of the game. I mean, I don't know what Ekholm was. Maybe he didn't realize that the icing wasn't going to be, well, he obviously didn't realize the icing wasn't going to be called off. But he got drilled twice, like absolutely, like he got knocked down. Ekholm's a big man. It's hard to knock him down. And the Canucks went in there and established that early in the game. And I don't know if the Oilers ever totally responded physically, at least not to the level the Canucks were at. Now, yes, over the last two periods, Edmonton had the puck a lot. So if you have the puck, you don't have to deliver as many body checks as if you're chasing it. But even so, all those shots from the Oilers for the Oilers, yes, they had some dangerous ones that didn't go in, that were saved or went off the post or whatever. But there was also often a Vancouver guy in a way or rushing an Oiler or reaching out his stick or putting a stick on somebody, whereas the Oilers gave up 2 clear shots to Brock Besser, who's the best shooter on the team for Vancouver. Now, of course, you'd hope your goaltender can win that confrontation, you know, maybe half the time, stop one out of the two. Skinner didn't. Fair enough, but they also left the guy for an open shot a couple times, once on a blown coverage and once off a turnover. So making mistakes, not playing physical enough, you know, not winning the battles in front of either net enough, and then just not having any players besides the big guys score goals. And there was some forechecking. I don't want to act like the other lines didn't do anything in the offensive zone, but I mean, probably Ryan and Janmark might have been the best two forwards after McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman. Credit to them, but ultimately you'd like to see some guys on lines 2 and 3 stepping up with that as well. So I guess that's why, for me, it's feeling like a post-mortem before the post-mortem. Who knows? In about 26 hours, we could be having a totally different discussion. I've seen enough hockey in my life to know sometimes a team that looks flattened is able to peel themselves up off the highway. And I certainly hope, mostly for the sake of all of you listening who love the Oilers, that that happens tomorrow. But the reason I feel less optimistic about it is because I feel like I've seen this movie before. And I just saw it last year. And that's just kind of what has me a little bit pessimistic about it, as Carolina scores again. So how about this? Kuznetsov bangs in a rebound. So the Hurricanes now up 2-1 in the third period against the Rangers. Happy to hear from you tonight at 780-496-0063. That's the number to call or text. InsideSports@630ched.com is the email. Carson Soucy has been suspended 1 game for the cross-check on Connor McDavid last night. Comment from Soucy.
Obviously just an unfortunate incident due to some timing. That's really kind of all I like to say on it. Obviously wasn't there any intent to get a player up that high. So I kind of just think unfortunate incident. I think we can just leave it at that, hopefully.
And Soucy did say a little bit more. He says he wasn't trying to hit McDavid in the head.
And if you can see after, it's kind of just almost apologizing. Like I said, didn't mean to get him up that high. He obviously was pretty fired up because, like I said, it looks bad. Obviously, probably felt bad, but ultimately, I was just like, hey, it wasn't. There was no intent to get you up that high. Just emotions run high in those scrums at the end of the game.
All right, so Soucy actually spoke there after he had his hearing, but before he found out the length of the suspension, but I think we kind of knew that it was going to be a game. All right, so goaltending. Tough go for Skinner, who, I guess for me, what surprises me about Skinner is that it's 3 off games in a row, because he's usually shown throughout his still short career, that he battles back and he often bounces back, and he hasn't been able to do that here against the Canucks. And I guess we saw some elements of that last year in the postseason as well. Could we see Calvin Pickard start the game tomorrow? Knobloch didn't announce the goaltender today. Maybe he himself hasn't decided yet, but he expanded on the goaltending when asked about it today.
As for Stu, I think, he has bounced back very well. And throughout the season, there's been games where he hasn't played well, and we responded, and he's done well. And playoffs last night was a game that I'm sure that we know that he can play better than that. And we've got, like I said, we've got two great goalies. Since I've been here, I've been very happy with the goalies that we've had. And the level of play that they've given us, I've been very fortunate to have. And, we've got a decision to make who's going to be that next guy to go in. But, if it's Stu, I have confidence that he will bounce back. If it's Picks, I know that he can play and give us a solid performance when he hasn't played for long stretches of time. He's shown it throughout the regular season. So we got a big decision to make, but I think either guy that we choose can get the job done.
You know, I've been asked that a lot today. Who do you think plays tomorrow? By default, I kind of say Skinner, because he's been the Oilers' number one goalie pretty much all season long. But then I also think, okay, they haven't announced the goaltender. Like, you'd think if it was, yes, we're coming back with Skinner, it's just like, yeah, we're coming back with Skinner. But then, maybe I'm overthinking it, but then when I start to think, okay, they haven't named the goalie, are they just holding off on that? So, we're not talking about Pickard all day and can he do it? And I guess the thing to starting Pickard is, if the Oilers win tomorrow, I shouldn't say he, but if the Oilers win tomorrow, then you kind of can do whatever you want in Game 5. If you could say, all right, yeah, Pickard won the game, but Skinner's our guy. We're coming back for him with the series tied 2-2. Or you can say Pickard was great. He gets another start. If you lose with Skinner tomorrow, then is that, is it worth it to put Pickard in to try to save the season Game 5 in Vancouver? So now I'm starting to think, I'm starting to think they're going to play Pickard. We'll find out at the morning skate. I really don't know. I don't have any inside information. 780-496-0063. We have Brian on the line. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Reed.
Hello.
When I saw Skinner coming out of the game yesterday, I thought it was more just to give the team a shake than it was, specifically about his play. I was going to mention, and you brought it up, about how the team looks a little lackluster. And I like your comparison to, last year, Game 6 against Vegas. I think what the Oilers are lacking, it just seems like, is that killer instinct, and not individually, but just as a team. And I go back to, and everybody knows this, if you're old enough to go back to when Gretzky and I can't remember who it was, went by the dressing room, I think it was the Islanders, during the playoffs.
Yeah, the Kevin Lowe story. Yeah, that the Islanders weren't celebrating because they were too beat up to.
Yeah, so that I think that could have been a pinnacle point for the Oilers, the young Oilers who became champions, to see what it takes to win. And right now, this Oilers team, I think, is lacking that. And I don't know what will spark that. But just to watch Vancouver, even the first game, for example, how many of our defensemen actually hit people? In our end, it was like four hits. In the playoffs, that's unacceptable. Vancouver's forwards are not all big guys; they're smaller guys. We should be punishing those guys. And Nurse needs to lead the charge there. Like, when he does things simply, he's a great defenseman. And I remember in junior, he was a mean guy.
I think he's been mean at times in his NHL career. But yeah, I said to Bob, thanks, Brian. I got other guys here and I got to get a break in, but I do appreciate those comments. I realize, you know, there's analytics about Nurse and CC, and game one wasn't very good. But I would suggest now, wow, now 3-1 Carolina halfway through the third. I kind of think even when Nurse and CC have a decent game, it's not as good a game as you need them to have, if that kind of makes sense. All right, yeah, we'll get to more of your calls. Kelly Rudy's coming up tonight as well. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
On a night cold enough to freeze your bones, a prospector searching for a legendary cursed gold mine vanishes without a trace. I'm Crew Williams, the host of Dead Man's Curse. This season, we retrace the steps of fortune seekers looking for a motherlode worth billions who never came back. Join our quest June 3rd. Search for and follow Dead Man's Curse Volcanic Gold on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
Yeah, so 3-1 Hurricanes leading the Rangers. 9:33 left in the third period. Rangers are going to the power play. We'll go to Mike on our open line. Hello, Mike. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Reed. I was the goaltending situation's been working pretty good, like teamwork. Like, I was kind of thinking Pickard should have went in last game because the series was tied 1-1. Skinner wasn't making great. He was, to me, he looked shaky. I think the crowd got to him. And, like, if, you know, Pickard would have lost or had a poor start, you'd throw Skinner back in and give Skinner a break. But now you've kind of put more pressure on, well, Skinner, because, well, both of them, really. Because you could have made an argument, like, that, you know, Skinner just needed a break after that first series. So, I don't know. That was my two bits, anyway.
Yeah, when the team loses, you can make a lot of arguments for sure, because whatever they did didn't work. I guess my short answer would be they didn't want to take Skinner out after he was the winning goaltender in the game, even with that Zadorov goal going in. But, yeah, fair perspective there. We'll go to Todd as well. Todd, thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Where are you?
I live in my own alternate reality. It's always morning here.
Okay. You got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Terrific. I think, you know what, I see a lot of people talking about Skinner being the issue, and that obviously he hasn't been good, but I think that we're dealing with a really stubborn coach who's just not willing to break up that Nurse CC pairing. And looking at all of their underlying numbers, I saw an article today, and their numbers are atrocious. Like, the expected goals for and against, the puck possession numbers, they're terrible. And if we're going to continue to run those two, like, we could put in Ken Dryden or whoever. Nobody's stopping those if we're going to leave five alarm chances all night long. Like, this poor guy's getting hung out to dry. Yeah, he needs to be better, but we can't have a pairing that's making as much money as those guys make, being as negligent as they are defensively.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't think they want to break up Ekholm and Bouchard.
I understand, but, I mean, to what end? Like, the stubbornness. Ekholm and Bouchard are great. Okay, then can we do something with Kulak and Desharnais?
Well, yeah, then you put Nurse with Desharnais and Kulak with CeCe. And Kulak and CeCe have been effective in the past.
Yeah.
Was it a couple years ago, I think, when we played Calgary?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anybody would be complaining about Darnell Nurse if he made $5 million a year and we had that extra money freed up for another real defensive defenseman. But when he's making 9.25 and hanging us out to dry like he is, it's a pretty frustrating watch from the viewer's side.
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't know if they're going to switch the pairings. I think that's a valid discussion point. I don't see Stetcher coming in, and I don't see Broberg coming in, so I think it would just be fiddling with what they have. Appreciate it, Todd. Couple more calls, yeah. And then Kelly Rudy's coming up as well. It's Inside Sports on Chet.